You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. Today is Thursday, so we're talking about coaching. Our featured guest for today is Carrie Campbell, who's HR manager for Stayco Systems. Carrie, let me just remind you that my business partner, Rick Franzi, and I co-host the Critical Mass radio shows, which air every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m., and they're all brought to you live on octalkradio.net. If you want to participate in today's show, let me give you our call-in numbers. They're 949-713-6443 or 6447. Well, I'm the lead partner for our coaching practice. I'm a master certified coach and past president of the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation. My coach training was done through CTI, the Coaches Training Institute. And I've been coaching executives and business owners for 17 years under the banner of the Coaching Perspective, which is a part of the Critical Mass for Business Service Group. Here at the Coaching Perspective, we offer individual coaching for the top executive all the way down to the newest entry-level position, individual coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, group coaching for work units, departments, and project teams, communication workshops, and coaching when there's been a physical or organizational upheaval in your company. Well, let's have Carrie join us now. Carrie, welcome to Critical Mass, the Coaching Perspective radio show.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, I'm excited to have you on. Let me just tell the audience, Carrie is our first HR professional that we've brought on the show this year, and thank you very much for being the guinea pig. I know you're a little nervous about it, but hey, you're going to do a great job.
Thank you.
Let's start out. Give the audience a little background about your path to Stayco Systems. What did you do before?
Well, I started with HR at Washington State University, where I got my double major in business management and human resources. From there, I started in the hospitality industry in San Diego as a coordinator in HR, and then worked my way up through the ranks as a generalist to now a manager.
Okay, and was HR always something you wanted to be involved in?
Always, well, definitely since college. Once I started taking the HR classes in college, yes, I definitely got the interest. I don't know if as a child, I thought HR was the way to go, but once I started the classes, I loved it.
I thought I'd ask. I've never met anybody who ever said always, but hey, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know if that was my childhood dream, but...
Well, you know, some people grow up wanting to be a fireman, a policeman, a doctor. Someday, I suppose, I'll meet somebody who says, I wanted to be an HR professional, but we're still waiting.
Definitely.
Well, look. Tell us a little bit about Stayco Systems and what your role in the firm is.
Stayco is a aerospace manufacturing company and has been in business for 53 years now, the whole time in Southern California. And for the first 50 years of Stayco's life, it was primarily switches for primarily military vehicles. And just in the last couple of years, we've actually diversified, and we're now doing the switches, the subsystems, as well as data entry systems. So just in the last couple of years, we've definitely branched out and are taking on more roles in the military community.
Okay. And you just recently moved your location in the last month or couple months. I forgot which it is now.
We did. We moved from Costa Mesa over to Irvine this last summer, so about 6 months ago. And it was a huge move for us. After being in one location for 52 years, had to move everything everything that, you know, was originally there 50-some years ago. So it's a big deal for us.
Nobody accumulates a junk after 53 years of being in the same place, do they?
Believe me. It's sad to say, but they do. But yeah, it was definitely a big thing for the company, and it's great being in Irvine. It's a fantastic facility.
Well, you do have a beautiful facility, and I enjoyed meeting with you there. Well, tell the audience about your role in particular. I mean, HR roles differ so much from company to company. Give us a breakdown of what your role is and where you're really spending your time on a typical day.
I would say you're right. HR does take on many different roles, and especially in a small company, HR kind of has their hands everywhere. I've spent the last couple months, a lot of my time has just been recruiting, hiring, you know, new faces for the company, and everything else from benefits to your just general employee relations. A lot of employee relations lately, especially with the holidays.
Okay. And in fact, benefits is a big deal. I know we had to change one of our meetings because you were involved in a lot of benefit work there. So it's that time of year for everybody?
Benefits are a big deal. The first of the year is big for some of the benefits. But yeah, benefits are a big deal, and just, you know, getting the right package for your employee is a big deal. There's so many, you know, options out there. You can't just take what someone throws at you. You have to customize pretty much every benefit to your employees.
Well, that sounds good for the employees. Carrie, you've been there how many years now?
Four years.
And if I remember right, you said that in the last 3 years, you've really had almost a complete turnover of management in the firm.
We have. I would say definitely in the last 5 years, we've turned over all of the management, and we've also done, between turnovers and new hires, about 50% of our employees are new within just the last couple of years, which is a very good mix, because we have, on the professional side, I would say most of our employees are, you know, just primarily new here less than 3 years. And then on our operations side, on our operations floor, we have tenure there. You know, the average tenure out there, I believe, is 25 years. So we have quite a range of tenure here, but it's a great mix.
You know, in case anybody missed that, let me back up and reemphasize that, because when I first heard this from Carrie, I thought I heard it wrong, in that she said that on her operations people, the average tenure is over 20 years. That is unbelievable. I have that right, don't I?
It is. It's unbelievable. In fact, I believe this month alone, we have a couple, this month and last month, we had a handful of people celebrating over 30 years anniversary with the company. So it's spectacular.
You know, the last time I saw anything or heard anything like that was when I was just out of school. My first job was downtown Los Angeles with Union Oil Company, and the oil industry, you know, I worked in a department where other than me and one other person, everybody had been there over 30 years, and it's a whole different attitude about when you start talking about changing things, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely hard to change things, but it's also great for, one benefit for us is, A, the quality. You know, if you've been doing something for 20, 30 years, you know what you're doing. So we have very little quality issues. But it's also great for the assemblers who've been doing something for 30 years to talk to our new engineers who've only been here 2 and 3 years and are designing new product. And it's a good partnership, because the assemblers can tell the engineers really what works and what doesn't. So there's a lot of conversation between two departments that, you know, maybe isn't usually there.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, that's a huge plus.
Well, it's got to be a huge advantage for your customers, too, in terms of the stability of your workforce. What would you, you know, now you haven't been there for the 25 years, obviously,
right.
But what would you attribute that longevity to? Is there any one or a couple of things that you can say is the reason? Because that's really unusual.
Gosh, you know, I don't know. The only thing that I can guess is that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, a lot of the women that started on our assembly floor kind of grew up together, and there's a huge family mentality out on our assembly floor. You know, a lot of them grew up together, raised their children together, or, you know, got married together. And so there's a huge camaraderie between that group. You know, they definitely stick together. And so, you know, that's the only thing I can figure is they've been together so long, they kind of are family.
You know, and I love that story. You had told me that when I visited with you. And you know, we work so hard today to create a family environment, a community. And here you have got almost the ultimate situation there. It really is family if they've been together that long.
Right. It is. It's nice, and it's definitely helpful. And, you know, people definitely look out for each other here.
Okay. Well, look, one of the questions that we like to ask everybody that we have on the show, because we get a different answer every time, is what's your guiding principle? What is it that you kind of fall back on, or what experience did you have that sort of created your guiding principle and how you deal with people, with life?
I would have to say I learned, you know, starting in the hospitality industry was fantastic. I mean, you know, it definitely gives you the foundation for HR business. It's fantastic. I wouldn't have done it any other way. But the HR foundation was great there. Probably the employee relations side wasn't so great. I learned that next at my next company, which was a startup power supply company. And, you know, it was really drilled into everyone that every person has a value, regardless of what level you're at. You definitely have a value, and everybody has a say, and everyone has a purpose, where, you know, I miss that at the hotel. You know, that's just not one of their core principles, and in my opinion. But the just seeing that all employees are valued and everyone has a say and everyone can make a difference regardless of what level you're at was definitely a great principle to learn and is extremely valuable now. You know, I see in some other companies where, you know, someone at an operator or a similar level maybe isn't treated the best or is, you know, just kind of overlooked, where that's, you know, just not right, but not the best business practice. You know, here, mm-hmm. we, at Stego, it's great because, you know, the people have been here 20 and 30 years, and we have to look to them. You know, they have the knowledge. They know what works. They know what doesn't. You know, we can show them something new, say, hey, we want to do this, and so, you know, they're the ones to say, no, this isn't going to work, and this is why. So definitely just valuing every level of employee equally is, I think, just a great principle that everyone should, you know, use and work off of.
Okay, I love it. That's great. You also, when we talked, mentioned that you had a second sort of guiding principle too, which on the more on the business side, that you mentioned to me, you have to be involved in the details. You want to?
That HR has to be involved in the details. What was I saying?
You know,
what was that?
No, as I recall, you were talking about the fact that for anybody to do do the job, you have to really be involved in the details. You have to know what's going on. You can't just take a superficial 30,000 foot flyby level kind of attitude.
For sure. You definitely have to know every detail. You have to know what's going on. That's kind of my favorite part of HR is I can stick my hand in every department and know what's going on. You know, for instance, now I'm helping out the sales team with a spreadsheet for our website that we're trying, a change to our website. You know, not typically an HR function, not typically an HR job that they would be involved in, but it's a small company and I get to do that. And I like, you know, small companies where you can mix the jobs and, you know, the job lines are blurred and you can do what really whatever you want. You can learn so many different aspects of the company where, you know, I see, you know, my HR friends in other companies, they just don't get to do that. It's HR all the time. So definitely,
you know, that's a really good point, because I think you're outlining really one of the major differences from an employee point of view between a big company and a small company, in that, as you put it, small company, the lines are blurred. You get to be involved in lots of different things, whereas in the big companies, you get more compartmentalized, if I understand it right.
Yes, and by no means there's no right or wrong to either. You know, it works. Different things work for different people. For me, this works. Smaller companies, blurred lines, that works. It keeps things interesting.
Great. Well, look, can you share with our audience, Carrie, a current challenge that that you're facing in your business?
Oh, there's so many. Where do you start? Definitely my number one major challenge right now is recruiting. That is just the hardest thing for me right now. I don't know if it's me or the economy. I don't know what's going on, but I know for me, recruiting is very difficult. I recognize that I tend to look for, you know, aerospace people, you know, people from aerospace companies, and that, you know, that's a small segment of the world, but still just finding qualified people is really difficult right now. I don't know if they're just in jobs and they don't want to leave the jobs they're at. I don't know, but recruiting is painful right now and has been for, I would say, at least a year now.
So well, that's a different picture than what you get out of the newspaper, which says that everybody's unemployed and it's an employer's market. And here you are struggling to find the kind of qualified people that you really need in your professional arena.
For sure. I have been struggling. I would say the last year has been the struggle. And, yeah, you know, my other managers here say the same thing. They say, we just read in the paper. We see with the unemployment number, you know, percentages. You know, why are you having such a hard time? And it's not, you know, of the 10% of South County or of Orange County that's unemployed, you know, there's only so many that are qualified for the jobs I'm looking for. And so it's very difficult right now.
Okay. Any particular positions you're looking for that you want to throw out to our audience in case someone from aerospace is listening?
Oh, my goodness. I'm always looking for sales-type people, always looking for engineers, any kind of operations. Really, I'm always... My door is always open to anyone that's super qualified, really. You know, if someone's super qualified, we'll definitely take a look. Right now, unfortunately, I just actually filled all my positions. I spent the last 6 months working so hard on it, and all of my open positions are actually full right now. But But it's still a challenge because I know this year, you know, you never know what the year is going to bring and what positions are going to become available. Right. But definitely always look at engineers and salespeople.
Okay, good. You mentioned to me that the other challenge that you're facing, and I don't know that there's much to say about this, but is really benefit costs.
Yeah, that is a huge challenge that comes for me once a year when we do our renewals. It's a huge challenge, and it's kind of a challenge that I don't really know how to deal with because it's one of those you just kind of have to take it. You can negotiate as much as you want, but at the end of the day, the rates are still going up every single year. And as much as, you know, the insurance companies are telling people, oh, just get a healthier workforce, that doesn't change anything. That doesn't change my rates. It's not as though I have, you know, very ill employees by any means. But yet my rates are still going up dramatically every year. And it's a challenge to continue to negotiate, and it's just a challenge to find good rates.
Okay. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, too. You know, the next question I almost hesitate to ask you, but I guess in the area of full disclosure, I'm going to ask you because I know your answer isn't the one I want. But since I would ask everybody else this question, you know, one of the things, since we are a show that talks about coaching, is the logical question is, you know, do you use coaching in your firm and what's been your experience? And I know you had mentioned to me that you weren't real big on coaching within your company. Did I get that right?
Correct. I would say...
I'm waiting.
No, I have to say, especially recently, with the types of employees I've been hiring, and especially the turnover, you know, where we have 50% of our workforce is new, most of the people that I have been hiring are experts in their field or coming in at the top of their game, You know, they're above and beyond than what we had or what we could have expected. Like, we have some really great new employees that, to be honest, I really want them just to hit the ground and run as opposed to train them to get them up to speed. I don't have to. And that's primarily, maybe that's one of the reasons I've been having a hard time recruiting, is I tend to look for quality and get the highest person. And if someone says, you know, if one manager says, I want someone at this level, well, I'm going to try and hire above that level because we get a little bit more bang for our buck and we're getting someone who literally is hitting the ground running as opposed to spending, you know, 6 months training them to get them up to speed. So I can't say that, you know, my new hires, I'm really sending them out to training or getting them, you know, specific training to help them in the field because they're coming actually with experience and teaching us, the rest of the company.
Okay.
So, and yeah, on the floor, I would say that, like on our assembly floor, there's definitely training that goes on a consistent basis because we have so many different lines and the assemblers, actually, we have it set up where they're teaching each other and they're training each other on the line. So, you know, we have a lot of backfill and a lot of coverage for each of our lines. But as specific training and sending someone out to get coaching, it's just, I just can't say we have that need right now.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm glad I asked you the question because what you've brought up is a sort of a common misconception, really, about coaching. And there's a lot of confusion in the business world about the difference between coaching and training. And obviously, as you put it very clearly, the people you're bringing in don't need a lot of training help. But what coaching really does. I mean, if we look at people who are at the top of their game in any field that we want to name, whether you're talking about an opera singer or a Super Bowl football player or the MVP for baseball, they all go back after their end of the season, after their great success, and they all listen to the coach who helps them, not in terms of training them, but helps them sort of get clear as to what their priorities are, to sort of remind them of the things they already know that they've forgotten. And that's one of the problems with experienced people, is we tend to forget what we really knew. And coaching many times can bring to the surface a perspective that maybe would have otherwise been lost. But again, like I say, it's a common misconception that I see a lot in business about, as soon as I talk to people about coaching, they automatically kind of go to training. So thank you very much for giving me a chance to sort of spin that definition.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, look, let me throw you a tough question now. You know, we talked about any painful lessons that you've learned in business.
Painful lessons.
I could say embarrassing moments, but painful sounds better.
Embarrassing moments. I can't say embarrassing or painful, but I could say just overall the best lesson I've learned was, again, back to valuing the employees. And maybe it was my own personal embarrassment of leaving the hospitality industry with a certain perception of the company employees, and going to my next company where, you know, the opinion of the employees was literally a 180 degree difference. And so, you know, I left one company with a perception of how employees are. I go to my next company where it's not like that. And, you know, it was literally pounded into me the first day that that the employees have so much more value than I was taught that they had. And so maybe that was a personal embarrassment that, you know, they're right. Why should I have ever thought this? And how did I get there? But it was definitely a good lesson to learn that I would say has definitely paid off.
Okay,
so I don't
great.
Know if that's what you were looking for, but...
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you for sharing that. You know, can you tell the audience a little bit about a growth opportunity that is available in Stateco? Let me ask you this. Why don't you think about that for a minute? If you have, I mean, this is an interesting conversation. I'd like to continue it. I know we talked about not going quite this long, but we need to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come right back to you. Okay, Carrie?
Okay.
Great.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Okay, so thank you, Smart Business Magazine. Great magazine. If you haven't read it, check their website, see if you can get on their subscription list, and it's well worth reading. Orange County is one of their 19 regional areas in the United States that they cover, and there's some great local information that they include in it. So we're talking to Carrie Campbell today from Stateco Systems, and we've kind of extended our interview time with her. This is going really well. And Carrie, we're leaving you before the commercial break with a question about, what are some of the growth opportunities that you see facing your business right now?
Well, internally, we are absolutely ready for growth. We are absolutely ready. We have been diligently working on new products and upgrading our current products. And literally, we are just bursting at the seams with just wanting to get our new products out there. They are amazing, and we can't wait to start selling them. We're a little bit hindered because of the aerospace community is quite a conservative community, and, you know, definitely takes the words recession and, you know, downturns and slow, they take them to heart and definitely proceed very cautiously. And so we are, again, bursting the seams, ready to grow and sell and get out there. We're just waiting for the aerospace community to get on board with us.
Well, I hope they do soon. I have a lot of people I know in aerospace, and get on board, aerospace. We're ready to go. Stateco's waiting for you.
I know. It's frustrating. There are the projects out there, and there is the work out there. It's lined up on someone's desk. It's just a matter of releasing the projects. And once the projects are released, you know, we're ready to jump on board. We're just kind of sitting and waiting and continuing to upgrade our current products. So when they're ready, we're here.
And you know what? That's a great position to be in, because, I mean, that's what companies have to do in downtimes. The companies that are just sort of pulling their head into their shell like the tortoise, they're not going to be ready when things start to turn around. And your company has taken an aggressive position with new designs, new products, new innovations. And maybe they're not being bought today, but you're going to be ready when the market's there. So that's a great thing to know.
Definitely.
Tell us what you see as the biggest challenge for HR this year.
I would say definitely my number one challenge is going to be the medical rate negotiations. I am just fearing those when they come. I don't even want to think about it. It's going to be a challenge. Honestly, getting the rates to where we need them to be and where we're comfortable with them being, it's going to be hard, and it's not going to be fun. And I just don't look forward to it at all. And recruiting, just continuing to get the people I need. Those are definitely going to be my focuses for this year.
You know, what I'm seeing is that it's not unusual. I'm hearing from companies to see increases in the 12% range for their benefit plans. And, of course, then the issue becomes, what do I pass on to the employees? Because it's difficult in these times for the company to take all of that hit. And I know that you had to do some of that this last year. Do you want to share with the audience what you did?
We did. We got some nasty increases on our medical insurance this last year. And, you know, we had to sit down and really be honest with ourselves on what we could afford. And, you know, we definitely try and stay competitive, and we want to give our employees the best rates possible and, you know, the best packages available. And, you know, we had to do some negotiations this year, and unfortunately we did have to increase the employee contribution 8%, which doesn't sound like much, but, you know, it adds up, and it's a tough time for everyone. And, you know, the last thing we want to do is make people pay more, but, you know, the cost that was increased to the company was, it was really just too much for us. So it was unfortunate that we did have to increase the employee percentage. But overall, I would say that we're still very competitive with the rate that the employees pay, and we're doing fantastic with the plans that we are offering to the employees. We have great, very nice plans. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's not very nice.
Well, I mean, yeah, it isn't good news for the employees, but frankly, you're on the low end of the scale in terms of what you had to pass on to the employees, and you have a very rich benefit program. So you're to be definitely congratulated for that, and I know you work hard to do it. Well, look, as we kind of get ready to wrap up here with you, and thank you for staying on longer, is there anything else about you or your firm that we haven't talked about today that you'd like to share with our audience?
I don't think so. I mean, Stayco definitely is a fantastic place to work. And again, we're in a fantastic new facility in Irvine that we're just so pleased to be in. And, you know, we invite anyone over to come see it whenever possible. But no, I think right now Stayco is doing good. You know, we did have, you know, across aerospace, there was a lot of layoffs last year. There were, just a lot of downturn in the industry. And, you know, overall, in 2010, Stayco grew 8%. And, you know, that's got to say something about the company and our products and our quality, and which all go back to our employees. So we're doing something right.
You are, and that sounds great. You know, one of the things, if I can, that you mentioned to me when we weren't on the air the other day, is when we were talking, is, you know, I was talking to you about our CEO peer groups, and where we put together groups where CEOs get together once a month and share information, and you mentioned that that just doesn't exist in the HR field.
Yes, I was quite jealous to hear that you have that. I'm not going to lie. Go on.
No, that's, you know, you really, you kind of caught me unaware. This is, you know, you taught me I should listen to some of the things that I teach, which is to go out and talk to your customers more often to find out what do they want, not what I want to offer them. And as a result of my conversation with you, I talked to my business partner, Rick, and this year we're going to be adding a peer group just for HR professionals. And we're looking forward to you being one of our first members for that. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. We hadn't even realized there was a need there.
Definitely. You can definitely count me in. Yeah, it's unfortunate for some reason in the HR community, HR people don't like to talk to each other, and it's extremely frustrating, and there's just really no reason for it. You know, if a competitor, if anyone in HR calls and says, hey, you know, I'm looking to get a, you know, just see what you're doing for your vacation sick plan. I want to see if I'm competitive. Well, it's not private information. You know, by all means, I'm going to share it. You know, it doesn't hurt me, and it helps the HR community. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't think that opinion is shared by all, but I do wish that there was a way or an opportunity for HR people to get together and share, because really we only learn from each other. I mean, it's not like I can go to my director of engineering and say, what do you think I should do for sick time? Or what do you think about PTO? That's not where I'm going to get advice or counsel. That's just not going to happen. I need it from an HR person, and we just need to get together and sit down and talk honestly and share information.
Well, we're going to take care of that problem for you, and I really appreciate you bringing it up. Carrie, I've really enjoyed you taking the time to talk to us today and to share some of the thoughts of what's going on in the HR community and to give us another perspective on Stayco Systems. So people that want to follow up, how do they get in touch with you or find out more about the company?
The company definitely is, the website is www.stacosystems.com. I'm on LinkedIn. And they can always call Stayco.
Okay. And your number there is?
949-297-8700.
Okay. And www.stayco, S-T-A-C-O, systems, S-Y-S-T-M-S-D.com. So, and Carrie Campbell, thank you very much for being with us today. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
And welcome to the Critical Mass Business Community, and we look forward to talking to you again soon in your own personal HR group. Well, that was Carrie Campbell. We had a great interview with her on the show today, so I hope you didn't miss it. obviously, if you're listening to me, you didn't miss it. So I don't know why I'm even saying that. Let me just say before I go on, I want to remind you that our radio show here is an extension of our 17-year business practice where we build CEO peer groups for executives here in Orange County, all under the brand Renaissance Executive Forums. And Rick and I are currently leading multiple CEO peer groups here. And if you'd like to learn more about CEO peer groups or about our coaching practice, I would encourage you to check out our website, www.criticalmassforbusiness.com, and to listen to our shows Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday, you'll listen to my business partner, Rick, interviewing top business thought leaders here in Orange County. Rick also is the author of the book Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, which has been called the definitive guide to the CEO peer group experience, and it's available for sale on Amazon. So just look up Amazon.com, type in under author Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, and you can find it. And as you just heard, we're going to shortly be offering, in addition to our CEO peer groups, a peer group for just HR professionals to create an opportunity in a confidential, non-competitive environment, a place where HR professionals can sit down and share their wins, their losses, and their frustrations and see what we can learn from each other. It's been a tremendous process. We've seen just astronomical returns both in dollars and in peace of mind in our CEO peer groups. There's no reason to think that it would be any different in an HR group. So what was your takeaway from today's interview? Well, you know, a couple of things that I got from the interview with Carrie. First is I was kind of surprised to hear that recruiting is getting difficult. You know, I mean, this isn't what you read in the paper. And when I first talked to her a few weeks ago, right after the first of the year, she mentioned this to me, and I started paying more attention and asking more people in the HR field as I went around the county. And what I found is her experience is not unique, that excuse me, that in the area of recruiting experienced, professional, trained people, there is not a surplus of good people out there. And I'm not sure what it is. I've talked to people. We don't think it's the fact that they've all left Orange County. We don't think it's the fact that they've all left the industry they're in. To some extent, it seems to be the fact that those people that are currently employed are reluctant to make a move. The devil that I know is better than the devil that I don't know. So they're just sort of hanging on and not looking for new opportunities. I'm looking at a tip here from my producer. He says his takeaway for this was once again the misconception of coaching and kind of the blending and definitions of coaching and training, and people thinking that I don't need coaching because we don't need training. Well, they're two totally different things, as we've talked about here on the show, and Carrie's certainly not alone in having that impression. Frankly, I think there's more work that we need to do in the coaching community to really show you that coaching is not the same as training. Which kind of brings me, I'll come back to more takeaways, but kind of brings me to a great opportunity that's available to you only once a year. On February 11th, the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation is hosting its annual coaching day. This will be at the LA Sports Club in Irvine. You can get the details on their website, www.icforangecounty.org. This is a great opportunity at no cost to hear a dozen top coaches speak on their favorite topic. The idea is once a year internationally, the 16,000-member organization of the ICF puts on, for that week in February, puts on opportunities for the business communities and the public in general to come see and experience coaching and find out what it's all about. So this is a great opportunity for you to hear top professionals. It's also a great opportunity for you to get some hands-on experience with coaching. There will be offered what we call laser coaching sessions. So these are short sessions where you'll sit down with a trained coach, and that coach will lead you through a discussion that's relevant to you today, and you'll get a hands-on example of what coaching could really do for you. And I guarantee you're going to walk away and never again confuse the term coaching and training. So great opportunity. That's February 11th, and go to the ICFOrangeCounty.org site, and you can find more information about it. And hey, I'm going to be there talking too. So, okay, so there's 11 top professional coaches and me. Let's not get immodest there. I'm going to be talking about how to achieve outrageous success in your life, and I'm also going to be doing some of the laser coaching examples. So that's a great opportunity for you. You know, the second takeaway that I got from Carrie's discussion today was it kind of took me by surprise that a 53-year-old company, successful company, is having to reinvent itself to stay competitive today. As you heard her say, there's been some changes in management over time here, and that they are diversifying themselves into moving away from just doing switches to doing other related systems. They're sticking with what they know, aerospace. They're sticking with the clients, apparently, that they know in terms of military. But, you know, we tend to think that startup means that you're starting a new business and you have no customers and you have no product and it's brand new. Well, startup can also apply to a 53-year-old company who's reinventing itself, keeping the best of everything they've learned and done for 53 years and looking for new and exciting ways to make it work. You know, I got to believe that that kind of mental attitude probably accounts for a lot of why they have employees that have been there for over 20 years. In fact, as she said, celebrating their 30-year anniversary right now. So those were some of the things that that we got out of that discussion with Carrie. Very interesting, and was a great opportunity. I think just the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to see here in the coming weeks as we talk to other HR professionals in the community. And while I'm thinking about it, let me just kind of whet your appetite with who's coming on next week, next Thursday on the 27th. I'm going to be interviewing Rob Miller-Boyer, who is with Hobby Products International, or HPI Racing. Fascinating company, and Rob is a very relaxed and very thoughtful person to talk to. He's going to be sharing with us some of a new management technique that they're putting into their company based upon a book that was written by Kazuo Amuro. Boy, did I butcher that up. I really don't know my Japanese, but I'll get the pronunciation correct for next week, or Rob will help me with it. But should be very interesting. Interesting company, HPI Racing, makes scale model racing cars. And so, as he puts it, hey, if your product is making toys, how can you not have fun at work? And that's kind of their attitude from an HR perspective. As we go into February, we're going to get to talk to Wyvery Bell, who is the HR director on a consulting basis with American Sporting Goods, one of the great shoe manufacturers, and right here in Orange County. And we're going to hear all about what they're going through. This is a business that has, if I remember the numbers right, something like 4,000 employees in China. So a whole different perspective than maybe what we've been looking at here. So we've got some great guests that are going to be joining us on the show and talking to us about what's going on in the HR field, and hopefully talking to us about how they're using coaching to move their business forward and to keep their employees on the cutting edge. You know, there's an article I read recently that talked about five major trends impacting HR in 2011. I'm sure there's more, but this particular article talked about five, and I just want to share some of those with you, as I'm going to be talking to our future guests about these in a little more depth. One is leveraging technology. That, you know, HR is dealing with people that grew up with an iPod plugged into their ear, They grew up with a comfort level of talking to people through their keyboard more than talking to them face-to-face. And now they're entering, and they grew up spending countless hours playing interactive games on the computer. So how are we going to take that talent? Come on, that's a lot of experience and time they've invested to learn those skills. How are we going to take that talent and put it to work in the workplace? How are we going to make their work environment game-oriented? How are we going to use technology in a way that allows them to communicate better both internally and externally with clients, customers, and vendors, and fellow employees? You know, we're past the point. You know, the first response to technology was, hey, you can't bring your cell phone into the office. You can't bring a thumb drive. You can't load anything onto your computer. And today, we're looking at companies that are on the cutting edge, and they're saying, hey, bring it on. Bring your toys in, and let's see what we can do to put them to work and make you even more effective than you've been. So leveraging technology is going to be one of the things that we're going to have to face.
Sit tight. We've got the Sales Lead Management Association Hour coming up next.